I feel compelled to say some Divrei Hesped for Moran HaGoyin, Rav David Feinstein Zatzal. He was Nifter on right before Shabbos, and the Levaya in the United States took place today. I was zeche to go to visit him on an annual basis. I did that for a number of years. And I was astounded by his personality. He was someone who clearly epitomized the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Shayef Ayel v'Shayef Nofik. He was completely self-effacing, totally below the radar. Almost without any sense of ego whatsoever. When I came to visit him, usually it was to ask him stiris in the Igros Moshe, ki'ilu, the great Goyin, his father, Zatzal, was Soisa himself. So I remember on the first occasion that I met him, he told me, Rabbi David, with my father, there are no stiris. What he wrote 70 years ago, he remembered 70 years later. And the problem that you have is that you are a student, the Talmud of a Briska. And they read every Ramban as they should with a fine-tooth comb. My father was not the Chiddush Ramban or the Muhammad Hashem. That was not his function. He wrote Piske Alocha in a very free, untrammeled, unrestricted kind of fashion. He wasn't writing the Chiddush Ramban al Hashas or the Chiddush Ramban al Torah or the Muhammad Hashem. So the diukim that you make in my father's tshuvas, which people obviously are wont to do, as we know from tshuvas regarding brain death and the like, he told me, don't approach the matter the same way. However, there are no stiras, there are no contradictions. HaGoyin Rav David Feinstein Zatzal was someone who I think was mekayim a mitzvah, which probably most people don't think of when we think of him. We know he was a goy nadir, shaylik and kol ha-Torah kula, in dalachad v'shulchan aruch that I saw very clearly when I spoke with him. But I would say the mitzvah that to me rings very loudly and clearly in my mind in an overarching fashion was the mitzvah of kibud av v'em. What do I mean by that? He spent his entire life, essentially, his piskei halacha are not so well known. Luckily, the last 15 years or so, one of his talmidim, Rav Baruch Maskowitz, publicized many of his piskei halacha in several volumes called V'dibarta Bo, which were given to me as a matana. And I was literally blown away by the psokim. Many of the psokim in the Sefer simply reflect his unbelievable fealty, being kofel to his father Zatzal, to the Goyin Ador. And I was reminded of Rabbi Avraham and Rambam when I think of him. Rabbi Avraham and Rambam is also, doesn't have the same kind of fame as his father Zatzal. And the reason is because he literally paled because of his own self-effacement. He was butel mebutel to his father. He spent his entire life defending his father. And even though HaGoyin Moshe Feinstein did not require someone to defend him, he didn't need lawyers. As I mentioned a number of times already, I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He said that HaGoyin Moshe Feinstein would have been one of the Gdolei Ador in the days of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, 200 years ago. But Rav David Feinstein, many of his psokim, and those that I saw that were written, very much reflect this incredible kibud av v'em. He was so kofel to his father, whom he saw as being the pesek hador, with such a wealth of masera that he spent his entire life in the shadow of his father. But his own nature, he was completely nechbo al hakelim. I think there's that very popular Breslova Nigin of Hastara B'tai Hastara. That's exactly what Hagoyim that David Feinstein was all about. Enveloped in a cloud of tzniyus. Umoshe Nichnas El Ha'arofel Asher Shomu Elokim. He spent his entire life in Tzach Ha'arofel. I'll be quite honest. I never heard of Hagoyim of David Feinstein until Rav Moshe was Nifta. And at that time, he was already not a young man. He was a middle-aged giant. But I was not aware of his presence. The moment his father, the Gadol HaDor, was Nifta, all of a sudden they emerged another Gadol HaDor pretty quickly. It was amazing to me. But I knew about him because of my Rebbe, Hagoyim of Nisim Alba Zatzal, who was the Chavrusa of Hagoyim of David Feinstein. At least the Malpin learned the Chavrusa with him for what I understand, between 1 and 2 decades. And he shared with me a number of fascinating stories. And I'll just share one with you. And I'm not embarrassed to say it publicly. I heard it from my Rebbe, Hagoyim of Nisim Alba Zatzal, who was the son-in-law of Hagoyim of Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg Zatzal. Rav Nisim Alper learned the Chavrusa with Rav David Feinstein, but there was one day during the week that they were very much focused on the Shia that the Rosh Hashiva used to say every Friday morning. That was the Marocha that Rav Moshe Feinstein said, and that more or less is found in the Sefer Divrei Moshe. Many of us are familiar with the Igros Moshe. Not too many of us, including myself, are familiar with the Divrei Moshe, which are voluminous tomes of Chiddushei Torah. On one thesis, you can have 25 pages. One has to be from the Gedolei Hador to appreciate the Divrei Moshe. So Rav Moshe would give the shiur, the Marocha shiur, on Friday morning. And they would prepare for it. They were Marmon Kemis. So Hagoyim of Nisim Alba Zatzal, my Rebbe told me that he would prepare the shiur with Hagoyim of David Feinstein Zatzal. They would learn all Thursday, the entire day. And then they would learn throughout the entire night, all Thursday night, at a mishmar. And then Friday morning, after davening, after breakfast, then Rav Moshe said the shiur. The shiur was several hours. After the shiur, they would talk to the Rosh Hashiva regarding the shiur. Then they daven mincha, they ate lunch. And then Rav Nisim Alba tells me the following. He would then go to play handball with Hagoyim of David Feinstein. I don't know if anyone here knows what handball is. I don't think the South Africans or the English have any concept of handball. Handball is literally against a wall, a solid wall. You play handball. Sometimes he told me they played stickball. I thought only in the Bronx, New York, did they play stickball or handball. Kind of rare. It expanded. So they would play ball for several hours, and then they would go swimming. And then they would enter into Shabbos, they would daven, they would eat the suda, and then they would collapse. Kach mishono hazahav shema Rebbe, Hagoyim of Nisim Alper. I have it right in front of me on notes. I took everything he said. I wrote it down. The Gemara in Sukkah, v'yoleu la'ibo, afilo sichas chulun shel tamine chacham tzvich olimoy. So I was thunderstruck, because I had a certain picture of Gedolei Yisrael. They just are focused on learning Kol Hayom V'Kol Halayla 24/7 B'li Yesek Hadas V'Gisa V'Yom V'Halayla. I didn't imagine they once in a while have to relax or even engage in some sporting activity. I was astounded. So many years ago, in my first trip to visit Hagoyim of David Feinstein Zatzal, I decided to, chas v'sholom, not that I was questioning my Rebbe's credibility, I said, I'm going to ask him if this is what happened. So I sort of did it in a very circular kind of way. I didn't approach the topic directly. I did it sheepishly with a tremendous degree of embarrassment, humiliation. But I finally got the point across, and he was smiling the entire time. And then he asked me, and I didn't identify myself initially as a Talmud of Rav Nisim Alper. He asked, who is your Rebbe? obviously he had a kesher with me. So I told him, and he began to cry. He started crying immediately, and he cried, and he asked Shila, why is he crying? Al-Hai Shufra de Bali Ba'ara. He was nifter at such a young age. He was such an Iwi, such a Goyin, such a Balkishran, such a Yochim Miyuchad. And then he told me, whatever you said is Emes La'amito Shel Torah, down to the Kesa Shel Yud. That's exactly what happened. Kachana. Every Thursday we would learn together. All Thursday night we had a Mishmar. We went to the Shishiva Shir. And subsequently, then we spoke to the Rosh Yeshiva, and then we engaged in sporting activities. Because even Talmidei Chachamim have to be relaxed. They also need some break time. The Medrash says that, why does the Torah have hafsakos? In order to hisbeinim, we have to provide some sort of interposition. I won't call it an intermission. So I asked him, what did you do when you were playing stickball and punchball and handball? He said, we discussed the Rosh Yeshiva Shir. What else is there to do? So they were involved in sports, discussing the Rosh Yeshiva Shir. And then on Friday night, they would collapse. This was the Mahalach. So I was astounded by David Feinstein. He reminded me, and still reminds me, of Rabbi Avraham and Amram, who spent his entire life defending his father against the attacks. Of course, I don't think Hagoyin, Rabbi Shapansi, was under attack. Although there were different periods in his life where individuals did not agree with Pesukim that he issued. But just as Rabbi Avraham and Rambam was Nechbar Lakelim, so was Hagoyin of David Feinstein. Sneers betoch sneers, Hester betoch Hester. Just as the Sefer is in a mantle, and the Sefer Torah is placed in the Aron Kodesh, and the Kodesh is covered with a mantle, kisui b'toch kisui b'toch kisui. Esuim chochma. I assume that probably all of you, or some of you may be aware that Rav David Feinstein wore a regular Western suit. When I saw that the first time, I asked him, how come he doesn't wear a frock? It's not the Rabbanan. I was astounded at that too. He said, I should wear a frock? My father's Zatzal. He was roy to wear a frock. I'm not roy to wear a frock. He said to me, you know who wears a frock? Dolei Ador. So I didn't want to tell him I live in Eretz Yisrael where every Reuven Shimon Valevi wears a frock. But this is what he told me. Meirov and Bisonuso. He held he wasn't roy to kach. Once I came to visit Agoyin Rabbeinu Feinstein, so they told me he's not in the yeshiva. Where is he? He's in the pizza shop. What? He went to buy pizza? He's sitting in the pizza shop with a cup of coffee, and there's a lineup snaking all around the block of people waiting to talk to him and ask him shaylos and answers, and he has a table in the pizza shop. Now, obviously, it was good business for the pizza owner, unquestionably. He attracted a lot of people. It's great for business. And I think Agoyin Rabbeinu Feinstein had that in mind also. So Chazal say you have to try to sustain Jewish shops. He sat there apparently once a week because it was easier for people to come there, come into the pizza shop, or wait online for him, and then he would respond to their questions with a perpetual smile. That's what I saw in him. B'seich ami anechi yoshavis. That's how he saw himself. As one of the, quote-unquote, pardon the expression, one of the guys. Part of the hamonam. I think, above all, what he did, and I don't even really have massive knowledge in terms of what he did for Klal Yisrael. He was available 24/7, from what I understood. He was the Ish Chesed par excellence. When Moshe Rabbeinu is told by Hashem that there's a need for a successor, for someone to be Mali Mokom. Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take Isha Sheruach Bo. And Rashi comments, Mi Sheyochol Lahalech Lepi Ruach Shekol Echad Ve'echad. That was Hagoyin that David Feinstein. Even I, who had no kesher to him, I'm not a Talmud, I don't live in the United States, I come out of nowhere, like out of Siam, and I appear on the scene. I always tried to make appointments, but it was not very successful. So I decided I'm going to simply appear, and that's what I did. And I wasn't the only one. There were thousands. And I received such a standard panim yafos. Now, it was helpful that I was the Talmud of his Chabrusa, going to Nisim Albert Zatzal. And Shum Sofek, he told me, isn't that what they call in Eretz Yisrael? Protect you? He used that lashon himself. So you have protect you. But it looked like everyone had protect you because they're all members of Klal Yisrael. I don't think I ever saw him appear publicly. He let that to his brother, Hagoyin Rav Reuven Feinstein Shlita, Hashem Yarach Yomov. He was the public persona. I once asked him, how come he doesn't appear publicly? How come his brother appears? So he jokingly told me, my brother looks more like my father than I do. So when he appears on the scene, he said, everyone thinks it's my father. So that's far better than I appear. I don't look like my father at all. Kach lishono hazov shel hagoyin Rav Reuven Feinstein. Unbelievable. He says, as I say. And my brother Shlita looks like my father. That's how. So people think they're talking to Rabbi Moshe. Plus, my brother is a tremendous speaker. He's an acclaimed speaker. And that's not my area of strength. When I go into the yeshiva and MTJ, I'm looking for another finding. He's sitting all the way in the back in the corner of the Beis Medrash. I asked him, why is he sitting in the back and not in the front? I says, isn't he the Rosh Yeshiva? He says, and he told me, B'tzeich Ami, Anoichi Yoshomas. His chesed was mind-boggling. He was involved in many, many organizations. I understood from people who worked for Art Scroll that he was a pillar for Art Scroll. He worked in the Aguda. He worked in Termasura. Many, many, not hundreds, thousands of people consulted him for Shailas and Halacha. His chesed was chesed mufla. Today, I heard the hesbedim that were given at the Levaya. Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky spoke very, very briefly. I just want to share with you what he said. I was astounded by that as well. After all the hesbedim had been given, and then he appeared on the scene, so he said he doesn't really have much to add, but he said about Rav David Feinstein, he was gishmak beyond gishmak. There was such a gishmakai to him. He was a min miyuchad. Not, shall we say, from the b'nei adam that we recognize. He was an adam miyuchad b'mino. And especially in his interaction with human beings. He called him an oisnam, as a mensch. There was no mensch like him. He's impossible to describe. He was kulo tov. Vayaro lokimus kol asher asa v'nei tomei. That was Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein. He was indeed a chaver to everyone. He understood everyone. He was willing to help everyone. And that's what I saw as well in this selfie-facing giant, this Goyen Hador, who was such a onov and so tzfanua and so nechbal akelim that many people did not even know about him and were not even zochet to know who was in our presence. There was such a pashtus about him, such a simplicity, such a tara, such a kedusha about him. Amazing that the Ribbono Shel Olam is mezakeh us with such gedolei Yisrael in our midst that we have to try to take advantage of them to the extent that we can. I just want to share one psak. I heard a number of psakim from him. One of my favorite topics is the topic of Pasabo B'Kislev. I've been on the case for many, many years, for over 40 years, the Pasabo B'Kislev. It came about because I travel too often on planes. And of course, they offer meals. And at the same time, this so-called Mizonos roll, which Hagoyin Rabelski Zatzal told me probably several decades ago, is halachic skullduggery par excellence. That was his lashon. I have it in my notes. There's no basis for it whatsoever. I've had that Mizonos roll examined by two of my friends who are professors of chemistry, and I wanted to see how much made peros there were there. And there was not even a smattering of made peros. Certainly it's not that which you could be saying. So among the early questions I asked about David Feinstein was, I started talking to him because on the Lower East Side, for those who've been there, I don't know if the South Africans or the English here was zeichet to be on the Lower East Side. The Lower East Side, by the way, loved Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein, and he loved the Lower East Side. It was really like a shidduch made in heaven. I don't know how to describe it. He used to speak to me about the Lower East Side and how beautiful it was. He reminded him a shtickle of what Europe was about. He's born actually in Europe. He's born where his father was a rov in Lublin, I think in 1936 or earlier. And he came to America.
1929.
29, thank you. Came to America in 36. So he's born in Lublin, in Russia. So he told me, I asked him about, I used to buy in Lower East Side, they had the best knishes in the world. Ah, what a knish. A knish, for those who are not familiar with it. Rabbi Loring, you probably know what a knish is. I don't think here people know what a knish is. So a knish is essentially, do they have them in South Africa? Philip, I don't know if they have such items. But we're talking about essentially something which has it's a dough and enclosed, it's enclosed by a dough. Sometimes the dough could be a thick dough, could be a thinner dough. And then there are all kinds of fillings that are placed inside that knish. Whether it's, Shulchan Aruch speaks about peiros, but I used to buy potato knishes, spinach knishes, all kinds of knishes. Matter of fact, when I went to visit Rav David Feinstein, I also went to get myself a knish. It's a famous bakery over there in the Lower East Side.
Comparing so, to a potato burek would probably be an insult, but probably close, a little close.
Just described it well, but I will not go any further. I tried not to say Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, even about the food in Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing like a knish. And a domet. And that's what, you know, the pasuk says, Eretz Yisrael lo chasera klum. But anyway, let's just back to the issue at hand. What bracha do you make on a knish? Now, of course, it depends on the nature of the enclosure. Sometimes you can have a very thick pie kind of enclosure. Sometimes it's thinner. But let's say I have more than one knish. I have two or three. And that's the same issue with the pizza. So, as you probably know, Arayom Hazeh, no one has ever figured out what bracha to make on any of these things. Do you make hamotzi? Do you make mizonos? I once went with a Talmud of mine, already a fair number of years ago. He met me 12 o'clock at night. He wanted to meet me to discuss. He was involved in Shiduchim. I was in New York, so I agreed to meet him at 12 o'clock at night in one of these places on Thursday night. And I ordered a cup of coffee. He ordered I figured he'd get a slice or two of pizza. He told me he ordered an entire pizza. And along the way, he started eating the pizza. He made mizonos. And after about six slices, so I said to him, don't you think you should have made hamotzi on this pizza? He told me, no. He said, it's but a snack. I'm having a snack. And he had another six slices. He basically ate the entire pizza. And that's called a snack. So I was astounded. What is the nature of that snack that he's having? So I asked Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein Zatzal many years ago, just I asked Rabbi Belsky even before him, when I met Rabbi Belsky several decades ago, I asked the Shiva as well. So he referred me to a tshuva of his father. It's actually a bir halacha. Kayadua, there are three different shittas regarding Passover of Kislev and Simukuf Samaches, three different types Passover of Kislev. Let's just briefly mention them. One is the filling. That's the item number one. The second is what's considered to be the mezonos rolls. It became known as the airplane mezonos rolls. That's the second shita, the second daya. And the third daya is crackers. Actually, once someone here at Eretz Yisrael, who had been living here for many years, he's a very famous Rosh Hashiva. And he came from America. He had been in America in 30, 35 years. He didn't have to raise money. Luckily for him, he was just a ram, a magad shir. And so he asked me if I could bring him back some tam-tams. He hadn't had a tam-tam in 30, 35 years. So I said, okay. So I went and bought several boxes of tam-tam crackers. And the first thing I did is, from the airport, I happened to have a car. I went straight to his house to bring him the tam-tams. I wanted to be a shliach, also shechusa. Even though Taisa said that applies to daraisa, I don't think this is a din daraisa. But whatever the case is, I bring him the tam-tams, and he tells me, where did you come from? I said, I came from the airport to bring you your tam-tams before I go home. And so he said, okay, thank you. Let's have a bit of a suda together. And so I said, what do you want to make a suda on? He said, on tam-tams. I haven't had them in 30 years. He started asking me, I can make a shechinyanu on the tam-tams. I said, I don't think so. But anyway, he then proceeded to make a mezonos. He ate an entire box of tam-tams. So I said, what? The entire box of tam-tams, that's kuf samaches, siv zayin. That's the third type of pasah babi kisnin. You're mechuyav to make a motzi. And now it's clear you should bench. So what does he tell me? What that other gentleman told me. It was but a snack. A very enjoyable snack that I haven't had in 30 years. Anyway, I asked Hagoyin of David Feinstein, so he referred me to a tshuva of his father. The simple halacha is the Gemara in Brachos in the Malach Mavez that if a person is having Kinuach Suda, Pasah Babi Kisnin, you make a mezonos. If you kobe a Suda, you make a mosin. The Rambam brings la'alocha, it's quoted also in Shulchan Aruch, that if we're talking about the Isa was Nilosh B'nei Peros, then the Brach is Bar B'nei Mezonos, not a motzi. But if the Isa is made in a fashion, I think the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is Ka'avim Yaveshim, so then you're not kobe on that. The main thing is you make also a bracha Bar B'nei Mezonos. But again, the question is, what's called a Kriya Suda? How do you define a Kriya Suda? And Mr. Brewer already says you have to start worrying X number of basin. I won't right now list the number of basin you have to start worrying about. There's a big discussion among the Dolei Poskim. But it's clear if you kobe a Suda, so then you make a motzi. So I thought what, number one, with this Rosh Hashiva had done, and also what the gentleman with the entire pizza had done, I thought that was a Kriya Suda. So this is what I told Hagoyin of David Feinstein Zatzal. So then he proceeded to discuss with me. First, the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is mechala between milu basar and milu tabu peros. Question, what's the basis for that? So the Magen Avraham and the other Achronim explain, I think Machsa Shekel points out that regarding things that are staple items of the meal, basar v'dogim, whether it's meat and fish, that come the lafis bo asapas, that are tofel to the suda, so you don't require bracha b'toch ha-suda, means the bracha is hamotzi, because what you're doing is you are essentially establishing a kind of meal, and now you are included in the meal on many, many other items. Mashen king, if I have a milu shel peros, a filling, which is not something that is tuffel to the suda, that requires its own bracha, unless you eat it together with bread. So usually milu peros is not tuffel to the suda, doesn't come a lapibu sapas. So therefore, again, you make the bracha, whatever bracha is supposed to be made on that particular item. And the only time you're going to make hamotzi, if you kobe a suda, and pass a babi kisne. So now the question is, what is called kriya suda? Clearly, the number of bases that one eats, that's a major factor. As I said, I'm not getting into the details of that right now. But I wanted to know from Rav David Feinstein, how do you define kriya suda? So he first quoted to me his father, who has a number of chuvos about it. And then he also referred me right away on the spot to Shulchan Aruch Rav. He referred me to what many Achronim said, Hayadam, because there's a suffix involved in all these matters. So the Achronim say, Yirei Shamayim should not eat Pachos Mishir Kriya Suda, Ela B'Techa Suda. Make sure you include all this in the meal, because otherwise there's a big suffix. We don't know what to do. And therefore, we should not even eat pachas mikizayis, except dafke b'toch hasuda. But the evidence if a person eats less than the shir of beinsim, which is the chumra, you make a mezonos and ala mechya. That's more or less what you find actually in the achronim who discuss this matter. But if you look at the bi'alocha, that's what Abdullah Feinstein Zatzal referred me to. Referring to a bi'alocha who says that many achronim go according to the Taz, that you don't want to make hamotzi without kriya suda. And according to them, there's no distinction between what I have and miloi. Miloi is the filling, which is the first sheet of Pasuk of Bekisnin, whether the filling consists of meat, let's say some sort of meat pastry, or you have even a cheese pastry. They're the same as milu shalperos. And what is the ikar? The ikar is essentially, and I'll read the language of the Bi'a Alocha, part of it, and this is what Rav David Feinstein Zatzal essentially told me, that the Mishnah does not agree with the Taz of Magen Avraham, the classic Achronim, but rather his assumption is the following. It really depends what my mindset is. My mindset is critical. Namely, it depends, it's a function of the locale, the Medina I'm living in. If that Medina views pizza as something which is a snack, and they're not kovei on pizza. People can eat one slice, two slices, perhaps even more than that, he told me. But from their mind's eye, as far as they're concerned, they're having a snack. And it's not something which is necessarily a shir kadei sabiyah, a seuda that they would have in the morning and at nighttime. And even they're eating, he told me, more than dalad beitzim, if in their mind's eye it's viewed as a snack, we're not machmir. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say otherwise. The Mishnah Berurah says we are machmir. If a person already has three or four beitzim, you better start worrying that you're entering into the area where you might be chayav to make a motzi. But rather, the Olam Misomech, he told me, Abdullah Feinstein, if there's no shir kadei sviya, and in your mind's eye it's a snack, you don't require a motzi. You don't require any tisradayim regarding this halacha of pasav avikistin. If, however, your kovei suda in your mind's eye, this is going to be a kriya suda. So then it depends really on the particular locale that you're in. He said to me, different countries have different perspectives regarding pizza. I'm not a mumcha on pizza, the chlau, and I don't know exactly what geographically the differences are between one country and another. It could very well be that Americans, I know from people in my yeshiva, that they view pizza as but a snack. They don't do this at Kriya Suda. They can have two or three slices, and now they're ready for the real meal. I have two or three slices, and I'm finished for the day. It's my breakfast, my lunch, and my supper. They don't see it that way. So that's what he told me, Abdullah Feinstein. I was astounded by that position. Now, he told me most people usually depends on the size of the slice, he told me. It could be a larger slice, a smaller slice. Most people have one slice, two slices. And that is kinuach ba'oma. In their mind's eye, they're not being kovei suda. So I asked them, what do you mean? One slice of pizza has probably nine kizesim, has probably more than four beitzim. So he told me, but he asked me, what do they do in your yeshiva? Do you serve pizza? So I said, yes. How do the guys view it? As a snack. He said, that's what my father helped. That if in their mind's eye, they see it as a kind of snack, and afterwards they're ready to sit down to a full meal, even though it has more than the shir that I just mentioned, that would be called kinuach suda. It's not called a kriyas. I was astounded by that hagdara, by that definition. And over the years, I've become actually more comfortable with that position. I see it's a realistic kind of position. And really, to a large extent, there are different types of people who eat pizza. It's true, some people go out to have a meal of pizza, and for them it's a seuda. They can eat the bikvias, then they'll make the bracha of hamotzi. But if a person does not do so, and has, again, I don't know what the shear is. I asked him, what's the shear? Is it one slice? Is it two slices? Because he apparently felt the shear was not necessarily dalad beitzim the way the Mishnah Berurah writes. But if you eat one or two slices, and you're not eating it as pas gomer, and not eating it derech sviya or kriyas, only eating it So therefore, this ma'akol doesn't have the status of bread, and therefore, one would not be obligated to make hamotzi, but rather, one would go ahead and make a bracha. So this was one of the number of psalkim I heard from Hagoyin, Rav David Feinstein, that's all. And what's interesting was that I would tell him, every time he told me a psak, I would start telling him svaras in different directions. And he told me svaras are very nice. And obviously when you learn a psak gemara, you have to learn with svaras. But ultimately, the idea of learning is asuke shmaitz alim dilchasa. So I said to him, I think your father's atzal. It's interesting that many people want to be mechalik between Hagoyin and Moshe Feinstein Tzatzal. He's known as a great pesek, but he was a great Rosh Hashiva. Thing is that none of us read the Dibros Moshe. We don't learn the same from the Dibros Moshe. Even the Igros Moshe is more than the Godish Lombus, except he doesn't write like a Briska. He doesn't have the Briska Shbrach. So somehow we miss out often on the Rosh Hashiva aspect of the Igros Moshe. And our Soloveitchik, we see primarily as a Rosh Hashiva. But he also issued many Piskei Halacha. But these Piskei Halacha were primarily founded on Svaris. Anyway, Hayonsi, we called Varenu, that I just wanted to say Dibre Halacha for an absolutely wondrous Goyin, someone who was a Miyuchad, but primarily, as I said, what I consider to be the area of Kibbutz Avayim. Came out every psak halacha that I heard from him, right away he referred to his father, Miyad. He deferred to his father. And I asked him once, are you ever chelik on your father? And he told me, kol ha-chelik al rabbi ke-chelik al ha-shina. He said he can't be chelik on his father. His father was such a colossal figure in kol ha-Torah kula. There's no way he passes could be chelik on him. There were times where he had some disagreements, but at the end of the day, he was always coupled to his father, and that's the kibbutz avayim that he displayed. His character was pristine, tznius b'toch tznius, hester b'toch hester, anova shein kamo, but primarily the unbelievable chesed that he displayed towards Klal Yisrael. And anyone who came to see him really was a kiyum of that pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu appointed Yeshua, was looking for Isha Sheruachlo, Sheyocho Lahalech Lepirucho Shekolecha V'yechot. That was the great chesed that I saw in Hagoyin Adov Feinstein, Zechatzal Dibracha, Yehei Zichro Baruch. Yisrael, tomorrow I wanted to complete the series on Tachanun that was involved in the sugya of Eben Maskis. I hope tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, I will do so, and Yisrael Hashem, we will continue in other areas of halacha on the Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday venue. This Tuesday night is the first yotzeit of Hagoyin, Rav Milinowitz Zatzal. Be'ez Hashem, hopefully we'll be able to once again get together to demonstrate Lamed Shehoshivu Yeshiva Al Kibro, the covered Osama B'Maisai, to give him the proper covered Torah that he was certainly worthy of.